In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto thee that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against thee by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to thine infinite mercy, seeking and imploring thy grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given thine only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins, and by thy Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of thee and of thy will, and true obedience to thy word, to the end that by thy grace we may come to everlasting life. Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, hath had mercy upon us, and hath given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgiveth us all our sins. To them that believe on his name, he giveth power to become the sons of God, and hath promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. Our epistle lesson this morning is found recorded in the first epistle or letter of the Apostle Paul to Timothy, chapter 2, verses 1 through 8, and reads as follows. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Here endeth the epistle lesson. Now sing hymn 30. gospel lesson this morning is found recorded in the gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 17, beginning at verse 11 and reading through to verse 19 as follows. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Here endeth the gospel lesson. Let us now confess our Christian faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed, as this is found on page 12 in the front of our hymnals. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text this morning is found recorded in the second epistle or letter of the Apostle Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 9, verses 6 through 15, and reads as follows. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God, whilst by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men, and by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. This is our text. Beloved friends in Christ and fellow hearers of his word, true Christians should be the most thankful people on earth because of what we know from the Word of God. Now, we know from God's law that we are sinners who deserve nothing good from the Lord, but only his wrath and punishment. But we also know the glory of God's grace in Christ Jesus, how salvation has been promised and given to us based on the perfect life and innocent suffering and death of Christ, so that when we die, we'll be taken home to everlasting life in heaven as a pure gift of his grace. Such extreme generosity and loving kindness from God, which we do not deserve, should fill our hearts with overwhelming gratitude and thankfulness to our Heavenly Father, whom the Bible says is really the giver of every good gift that we have. Now, in contrast to that attitude of Christian thankfulness, unbelievers like to think that the blessings that they enjoy from God are really the result of their own hard work. And that, of course, destroys the feelings of thankfulness toward God. And it often also causes them to be much more selfish with their earthly goods, because they regard what they have as the product of their own efforts. They see no reason to share it with others, because they believe it's just theirs. They earned it. One of the reasons why such people often resent organized religion is because they don't like the idea of the church laying a guilt trip on them and telling them to be generous with their money. Use it for others, not just for themselves. Now, obviously, we Christians, when we show kindness to others, are generous toward them, or when we give money to the church, it shouldn't be done grudgingly. We shouldn't feel like we have to give any money. It's not like membership dues or a tax that must be paid. It's something that we want to give out of gratitude in the spirit of true thanksgiving to the Lord. Likewise, we should be generous to other people, in gratitude for the mercy and generosity that God has shown to us. Accordingly, we see in our text for this morning that we show our thankfulness to God by how we use the blessings that He has given us. In the first place, we should be generous with the blessings that God has so generously given us. And secondly, in recognition of His blessings, we should abound in thanksgiving toward Him. Now may God the Holy Ghost bless the consideration of His word in your hearts and in your lives. In his letter to the Galatians, the Apostle Paul writes, "Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Now, all that literally means is what you plant will result in what you harvest. So the person who plants corn will harvest corn. You should not expect tomatoes to spring up if he planted corn seed. Likewise, if a person just plants a bunch of weeds, well, then that's exactly what he's going to get. Now, this basic common sense truth has application in many other areas, the general point being that one's actions have direct bearing on the consequences of those actions, cause and effect. For example, if a student is lazy and never does any of his schoolwork, he'll get bad grades, in all likelihood. But the student who works really hard would likely get good grades. And certainly there can be exceptions to these rules, and especially when dealing with human beings, we might get the exact opposite. Sinful human beings often reward evil and punish good. But such injustice will never take place with God. For the Bible says that God is a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is He. Now our text for this morning highlights two basic types of sowing, which are opposites. And they result in very opposite kinds of reaping. One is sowing sparingly, which means stingily. And the other is sowing bountifully, which means generously. We read in the first verse of our text, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." So the result of sowing sparingly will be a reaping, a harvest that is also very sparse, meager, pitifully small. Whereas sowing bountifully will result in a bountiful harvest, generous gifts from our gracious God. Now, when we are sowing bountifully, we are generously using the gifts that God has given us, spreading it abroad, looking to help others with our gifts, not just amassing great amounts for ourselves. So then one might think that the person who sows generously won't have all that much left for himself. And the unbelievers in the world would think that such Christians who sow generously have much less to be thankful for, because they don't even have as many things, because they've generously given it away. They've helped other people, rather than simply trying to pile up as much as they can for themselves. However, nothing could be further from the truth. The fact of the matter is that even if we gave away all of our goods, being just so generous, we would still have so much to be thankful for. Because something that we will always have by faith in Christ Jesus is a treasure that far exceeds every earthly treasure. That's the treasure of our Savior and what He did for us, what we have through him, even the forgiveness of all our sins and the promise of everlasting life in heaven when we die. Remember how the Lord Jesus asked this thought-provoking question. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? So the person who gains all the wealth in all the world but loses his soul to eternal torment in hell, he's really not profited at all. He's in a miserable state. And though the eternal punishment of hell is what you and I also deserve because of our sins, yet for the sake of the perfect life and the innocent suffering and death of the Lord Jesus, we've been saved from that. Yes, in Christ we have the promise of full and free forgiveness. But it is important to remember that this true saving faith in Christ that you and I possess is more than just words. It's not just us saying we believe in Christ. We truly believe in him from our heart. The saving gospel is something that affects our hearts deeply, which means it will also move us to deep, true, sincere gratitude to God, thankfulness, love for our Savior. And what will that cause us to do? Well, it will cause us to show love to God and toward our fellow human beings. One of the ways that it will show itself is in bountiful, generous harvesting or sowing, which results then in also bountiful reaping. Ultimately, the most bountiful reaping will take place when we depart this earthly life and enter into eternal glory in heaven. Now, the promise in our text concerning bountiful reaping for those who sow bountifully is not set forth to be the main motivation for us Christians to do good and be generous. We shouldn't do good simply because of what we can get out of it for ourselves. But the promise is given to be a nice additional encouragement for us when there are so many discouraging things around us, and when we are tempted to sow only sparingly with our fleshly thought that that's how we get ahead, by just keeping more of our own things for ourselves. Now, one specific way that we sow bountifully is by generously giving to the work of Christ's church. That is a natural fruit of our faith. Because we're thankful to God, we're thankful for the blessings that he bestows upon us through his word. But such giving to the church always must be done willingly, cheerfully. This is the point made in the next verse of our text, where we read, "Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." Really, everything that you do in service to God must be done cheerfully if it's going to be pleasing to God. If you're internally grumbling because you feel like you have to do these things that you really don't want to do, well, God knows that. He knows what's in your heart, and that's certainly not pleasing to him. But it is a Christian's desire, a Christian who loves the Lord and is truly thankful for his blessing, to serve him. It is a Christian's desire to give generously to the church, even when he doesn't have the ability to give generously, or even when he doesn't have much money to give. Remember the widow with her two mites. She didn't have much at all. Generous, though, and given cheerfully. Our text stresses the fact that if we recognize the boundless grace of God to us, if we appreciate that, yes, that will cause us to abound in every good work. moving us with thanksgiving to serve him according to his commandments. We read in our text, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." As was mentioned earlier, we who have learned about the grace of God in Christ Jesus should be so much more thankful than the unbelievers. Though the unbelievers still, even though they're completely ignorant of the gospel, still have a great deal for which they should thank the Lord, things that should still be obvious to them as blessings from him. Their daily bread. He's the one who's given them life. He's the one that's continued to preserve their life. He's the one that satisfies all their wants and needs. And he does that without them thanking him at all. He does that because he wants them eventually to come to acknowledge their unworthiness and his overwhelming grace. And the Lord provides for us in all of our bodily needs, giving us much more than just the necessities of life, much more than just food and clothing and shelter. As our text continues, we see that the Apostle Paul refers to Psalm 112, verse 9, stressing how God satisfies our daily needs and causes our work to prosper. We read in our text, "As it is written," namely in Psalm 112, verse 9, "He hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness." The fruits of righteousness are the good works that Christians render to the Lord in response to all of his goodness toward us. Yes, we are to use the blessings that he has given us to perform works that are pleasing to him, not just serving our own wants. And for as much as we should certainly express true thanksgiving for all the earthly blessings that he has given us, we should especially remember to thank him for the spiritual blessings, the eternal blessings that we have through the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's far greater. Yes, Jesus, by taking the place of every human being on earth, took our place under God's law, suffered and died to save us from our sins. As a result of that, he's established peace between sinful mankind and the holy and just God. Apart from Christ, we would only suffer under his wrath. But in Christ, the Lord God is merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sins. Such priceless spiritual blessings are given freely by God to all people, and they are received individually through faith. And that faith that we have is a gift of God's grace. So when we call to mind all the things that God's given us, we definitely should not forget the most wonderful spiritual blessings that we have, the creation and preservation of our faith through his most precious word, the forgiveness of all our sins, peace with God, everlasting life in heaven through Christ. Recognition and appreciation for the undeserved love and kindness of the Lord to us unworthy sinners is exactly what produces the spirit of true thanksgiving in our hearts. As we read in the next verse of our text, "Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God." We must sadly confess that we do not always show God full, true thanksgiving as we should, and that because of our sinful flesh. We take many of his blessings for granted, often forget to acknowledge him as being the giver of all the blessings that we enjoy on a daily basis. And though we have, therefore, deserved his punishment through his boundless grace in Christ Jesus, even our terrible sins of ingratitude have been forgiven, fully paid for by the blood of Christ. The more that wonderful gospel message is heard and pondered by us and appreciated by us, the more we will grow in our love for God and in true thanksgiving. Yes, through the gospel, God will work in us a greater recognition of his blessings, and through the new man of faith that he's given us, we'll become more thankful, show more appreciation and gratitude to the Lord. The Apostle Paul told the Corinthians that their generous Christian offerings to help their brethren in Jerusalem was not only benefiting their fellow believers, but would also cause the saints in Jerusalem to glorify God in gratitude and to pray for the Lord's continued blessing upon the Corinthian Christians. We read in our text, "For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God, whilst by the experiment or proving of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal, generous distribution unto them and unto all men, and by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you." Indeed, the Christians in Corinth were showing their genuine saving faith in Christ by being very generous in their offerings to help their brethren in Jerusalem. The love of Christ moved them to such generosity. And it is, of course, the love of Christ that always motivates every act of Christian service, every act of true thanksgiving, whether they're acts of love toward God specifically or acts of love toward our neighbor. Accordingly, in the last verse of our text, we are reminded of God's great gift that he's given us in the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. A gift that is so wonderful it exceeds human ability to comprehend or even to express. We cannot give adequate verbal expression to how wonderful this gift is. Hence we read in the last verse of our text, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." Yes, if we have true heartfelt thanksgiving to God for all the blessings he gives us each and every day, that should be reflected in how we live our lives. And others should be able to see that. That we live our lives differently than the unthankful unbelievers. We definitely should not be as boastful as the unbelievers. We know that the things that we enjoy are to God's praise, not to ours. We must confess that he is the gracious giver of everything that we own, everything that we have, every success that we've ever had. So we should be thankful to him, not lifting ourselves up with pride. And we should be generous with the things that he's given us. He's given us our blessings, not that we just use them selfishly for ourselves, but for one another. It's part of how we let our Christian light shine before men, and that too, to his glory and praise. So as we take extra time to think about all the blessings that he's given us on Thanksgiving, remember the earthly blessings, remember the spiritual blessings. Remember how we don't deserve any of them, but how he so generously gives them to us for Christ's sake. And then show the fruits of true thankfulness. Grow in your Christianity through the power of the gospel. Grow in the works of true thanksgiving. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Thank you. Receive, O God, the thank offering which we now place before Thee on this Thanksgiving Day. We realize, O Lord, that we give Thee but Thine own, whatever the gift may be, and that all that we have is Thine alone, which Thou hast entrusted to us to use according to Thy will. Therefore we ask Thee to bless these offerings for Thy mercy's sake. Amen. Let us rise to pray. O Almighty and most merciful Father, Thou giver of every good and perfect gift, we give Thee hearty thanks for blessing us so richly with Thy precious word and holy sacraments, and supplying us so abundantly with all that we need for our daily necessities. Thou hast richly blessed us and our country. O Lord, Thou makest us to dwell in a goodly land, and Thou Thyself carest for it. Thine eyes are continually upon it from the beginning of the year even unto the end. Thou hast ordained for us our government, and dost endow those in authority with wisdom so to rule, that we have been kept safely under their governance and have spent our days in quietness and peace. Thou dost continue to preserve for us freedom of religion, so that without hindrance we may freely serve Thee according to Thy word. Be quickened in our most holy faith, confess Thy name, and spread abroad Thy precious gospel. And that Thy gracious blessings may continue among us, fill the hearts of men throughout our conference with the earnest desire to serve Thee in the pastoral office, that none of our congregations may be without the leadership of a faithful shepherd. In our homes and church, teach our children the knowledge of the saving truth, bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In Him Thou dost richly and daily forgive us all our sins, and dost not deal with us according to our iniquities. As high as the heaven is above the earth, so great is Thy mercy toward us. With the finger of Thy Holy Spirit, write in our hearts the continuous remembrance of Thy goodness and faithfulness. Open Thou our lips, that we may praise Thy grace and mercy, and confess Thy holy name and Thy pure word. As Thou hast prospered us in earthly goods, make us willing and ready to praise Thee by our works, and to honor Thee with our substance for the extension of Thy kingdom. Let this mind be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus, that we have compassion on our neighbor in his need, even as Thou hast had pity on us. Preserve us from vanity and pride, lest we say in our hearts, our power and the might of our hand hath gotten us this wealth. But let us remember Thee, the Lord our God, by whose power, wisdom, and blessing our church, our nation, our government, our homes, our families, and all of us as individuals are preserved, to the end that we may teach, as a memorial forever, that Thou indeed hast done great things for us, and that we rejoice in Thy grace. We especially give Thee thanks today for the glorious salvation Thou hast secured for us in the saving work of Jesus Christ, Thy Son, our Lord, in whose name we furthermore pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Thank you. Lord God, Heavenly Father, from whom we receive exceeding abundantly all good gifts, and who daily, of thy pure grace in Christ our Savior, guardest us against all evil. Grant us, we beseech thee, thy Holy Spirit, that acknowledging with our whole hearts all this thy goodness, we may now and evermore thank and praise thy loving kindness and tender mercy through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. We shall now sing verse 3 of hymn 36.